Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. Today, I want to talk to you about running. Now, I've always been a runner, and I've always enjoyed running. And when I was younger, I ran, and I didn't think so much about how I would run. I would just put on my shoes and go. But in the past couple weeks, I've had more time to practice running, to spend time outside, enjoying the fresh air, the sunlight. Basically, because when we're stuck inside for so long, we need to do something outside. So I started to get back into running, and I found that it is harder to run now than it was to run before. So I have to think now more about what it is that I do when I start to run. That means I have to think how I run, when I run, what do I eat beforehand, how do I stretch before and afterwards. Even little tiny things like what do I keep in my pockets. Because when I was younger, I would have my phone, I'd have my keys, I'd have my wallet, I'd have my backpack. And I didn't even think about why I did any of that. I just did it because it felt natural to me. But now, when I run, sometimes I don't even have my phone on me. Because the idea is that it's actually harder for me to run when I'm carrying all of those things. It's harder for me to run when I'm carrying extra weight. Today we are reading from the book of Philippians, and we're continuing with our series, and we're actually going to be in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 8 to 15. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. And it reads like this. It says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you." Paul has suffered. We've seen his suffering. We've seen how he is in jail. He has lost his freedom. He is at risk of losing his very life. He is in this place where he has lost so much for Jesus. He has risked his reputation, his family, his life. His everything has been put at risk by choosing Christ. And so he looks and he says, "I have suffered and lost for Christ, and I actually consider this to be a gain. I consider this to be a benefit for me. All of those things that I left behind, they are all rubbish. They're garbage." Now, is Paul saying that family is garbage? Is he saying that a good, well-paying job that can support your family, that that's garbage? Is he saying that, you know, personal freedom and the ability to make your own choices, is that garbage? Well, yes, he is, compared to Christ. And that's the important piece that Paul is talking about here. He's not saying that all of these things are bad in themselves, but he is saying compared to the awesome goodness of Christ, all of these other things are extra. The problem is that when we are ourselves trying to do too many things at the same time. Now, for me, one of the big challenges is when I'm playing video games or if I'm watching TV and someone's trying to talk to me. The challenge is I really want to be able to maintain a conversation, but I'm pretty terrible at it. I can't do it. I can pretend. Now, my wife is really good at this because she can pick up on it. When I'm busy or occupied, I talk differently. And so immediately she'll say, "What are you doing?" And I'll be like, "Well, I'm on my computer." And she's like, "Oh, I know." How? Because I am talking differently. My attention is focused on too many things. The problem is when we are not focused on Christ and we're focused on the rest of things that fill up our life. So, for example, when I was in university, I had a friend of mine who said that it was the goal of her life to have the American dream. The idea was that she wanted to have a house and a husband and children, and the white picket fence, and the dog, and everything. And that was the goal of her life. Now, what's the problem of that being your goal? Well, it means that the goal is not Christ Jesus. Because what if Christ doesn't want you to have a husband? What if he doesn't call you to have children? What if you have to live in an apartment and never in a house? What if you can serve him by different means than what you think are best? The problem is when we get ahead of ourselves and we say, okay, well, listen, everybody else has this. Everybody else has a husband or a wife. Everybody else has a girlfriend. Everybody else has a job. Everybody else has a really nice car. And so that means that I should too. And we buy into this mentality that actually is not Christ-centered, but it's self-centered. And that's why Paul puts it to us this way. That if Christ is the center of our focus, if it is what we want, to be with Christ, to be like Christ, to know him, then everything else is extra. He says it's garbage. He's saying this because he's saying compared to God, it is nothing for him. And he is happy to lose it if it means he gets to go on to the next thing. So the first point is, if we are spending our whole lives fixated on something else and not on Christ, then we're going to be distracted. We are going to be worried about how are we going to be able to support our families? How are we going to get a good job? Are we going to be single for the rest of our lives? Are we going to be stuck in that apartment? Are we going to be stuck at that same miserable job that we can't stand for the rest of our life? And then the focus becomes on not who God is and what we can do for him, but what we have now. And the problem is that's not how we were designed. That's not how we were made. We were not made to just collect things. We were made to serve and worship God. And that's why when we're running, the idea is don't carry the extra weight. Because when you're running with extra weight, it's harder. It means it's more difficult. Because think about it this way. If you have nothing, think about it. Imagine you don't have a house, you don't have a car, you don't have a family, you don't have kids, you don't have any of those responsibilities. It is easier to give your life for Christ. It is easier to serve God with everything because you have less in the world's eyes to risk. You don't have to risk losing your friends because you don't have any. You don't have to risk your house because you don't have one. You don't have to risk your family, your wife's happiness, your husband's happiness, your children's contentment. You don't need to risk any of those things because you don't have them. That's not to say that these things are bad, but Paul is making a point here that says we try and have everything and then we're surprised when we are frustrated or tired or when we burn out from doing ministry things because we're trying to be a good husband, we're trying to be a good father, we're trying to be a good worker and serve God. And we only have so many hands. There's only so much we can do with our life. And what Paul is pointing to is he's saying, well, my priority is first Christ. And because he's my priority, then all of these other things that I lose, they don't affect me. It doesn't matter that I lost my job. It doesn't matter that I lost my wife. It doesn't matter that I lost my kids. Because one thing still remains, which is the awesome, never-failing, unending love of God that has so transformed Paul that he can't help himself but serve him. He can't help but serve this God, this Jesus. And that is the encouragement for us because when we are going in through suffering, we typically say, why, God, are you doing this to me? Why me? Why not my friend? Why am I not my neighbor? I'm not that much more sinful than anybody else. I don't deserve this. They surely deserve this. So why am I getting punished for it? And Paul looks at it and he says, thank you, Lord, for taking away the extra weight. It was distracting me from you. Now, it sounds callous. It really does. It's like, oh, gosh, okay. Thanks, Paul. Clearly, you didn't really love your family. You didn't really love, you know, your job or your wife or your kids. But Paul isn't downplaying the importance of family or of your wife or of your kids. But he's saying that the power of God is that it attracts us to serve him. And it's so much more important than anything else that we have. It's motivating us to serve. Because if Christ is the goal, then it doesn't matter if I have a wife, or if I have kids, or if I have a house, or an apartment. It doesn't matter whatever I get, because that's not what I was looking for anyways. The problem is when we lie to ourselves and we say, no, my life's goal is to serve Jesus. But in our hearts we're saying, but only if he gives me what I want. If we only go to the church because we want a good house, or a better life, or a better wife, or better kids, or better friends, That's the problem. The problem is when we say out loud we want Jesus, but really we want everything else. Then Christ isn't the focus. Then Christ becomes the accessory. And Christ Jesus is no accessory. He's not the tattoo that you put on your arm to be like, yep, I'm with Jesus. He's not the bumper sticker you put on your car to say, yep, I'm with Jesus. Christ Jesus is meant to be here, our heart. The purpose of our life is to serve Him. And then everything else that is put in our life, it's put there for a purpose. Yes, your wife is important. Love her. Cherish her like Christ Jesus cherished and loved the church. It's an opportunity for you to serve and love God by caring for another person. Children are a blessing from God. You can teach them and raise them to love God, to serve God, to know Him. They're given to you as a blessing. It's all about perspective. If you're looking at these things as the goal, as the thing that you're looking for, then that's an idol. And then Paul is right in saying it's garbage. If you idolize your wife to the point where you're like, you know what, everything she wants, she gets. She's my goddess. She's my everything. It's not worth it. If you treat your kids as if everything they do is blessed from on high and they can do no wrong and their happiness is the purpose of your life, even if it means they end up miserable little kids and terrible adults, then you failed. Because the purpose was never the wife or the kids or the job or the career or the education or the house. All those things that we try and get, they're not the purpose. They're the opportunity for ministry. So that's the first point. The first point is Christ Jesus is the focus of our life and everything else is just extra. Paul continues, he says, not that I have already obtained this, and by this he's referring to knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection. He says, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So basically what he's saying is this. He's saying, number one, I'm not perfect. I'm not the guy who has this all figured out all the time. He's dispelling of the notion that he is the perfect example all the time. And it's not as if he just one day woke up and he was perfect, that he knew exactly how to do it. What he's saying is that there's this constant battle going on inside of us, pressing on towards this knowledge of Christ and the power of His resurrection. That it's not as if our faith is just born overnight. It's one through daily struggle, dedication, devotion, and allowing the Spirit to actually grow and move in us. There's this idea that it's not an instant transmission of salvation from one to another that develops overnight into this becoming like Jesus. Salvation, yes. We believe that when you believe that Christ Jesus has died for your sins, when you accept Him, when you bring Him into your heart, when you allow Him to transform you and to trust Him for your salvation, yes, we believe that happens instantaneously. The problem is, do you change instantaneously to be perfect immediately? I'm going to give you guys a second. No, of course not. How do we know? Well, we have mirrors. We can look into them. And even if you don't have a mirror, or even if you don't think that you are necessarily imperfect, then presumably you've spent time with other Christian people. So you know that it's not true. You know that it's not true that the moment we become a Christian, our lives don't immediately shape up. There are Christian people who have divorces. There are Christian people who suffer. There are Christian people who still struggle with self-doubt, jealousy, envy, pride. There are plenty of Christians who are lazy, who are gluttonous, who really just want to feed and just fill themselves. There are Christians who are proud. You're looking at one. Paul is saying, I'm not considering and living my life as if I've already won. He's not running the race of life, assuming that he's already got the victory. He says, I press on to get this prize. He's going to work for it. He's going to put in his blood, sweat, tears, everything. He's going to work hard for it. Because it's worth it. Because it's just like any other muscle. It has to be practiced to be used. And the problem is when we think that the moment we become a Christian, then it's going to become easier. And in some ways it does. We do have the Holy Spirit who aids and assists us. We do have Christ Jesus whose love fills us. We do have the direction of God the Father who guides us and shows us where to go. But that doesn't mean that our lives instantly become easy. I became a Christian when I was 17 years old, and my life did not immediately get easier. If anything, I got harder. Because there were plenty of people who thought that it was a bad idea. There were plenty of people who were against the idea. And that meant that I was now embroiled in conflict. It meant that now, where before there was unity, or at least the appearance of unity, there was no division. My life did not become easier the moment I became a Christian. At least it didn't seem that way. When I got baptized, it wasn't as if my life all of a sudden transformed to become this rosy picture of all life could be. In many ways, it did get harder. Because before, I was living for myself. And all I had to do was live for myself. If I wanted something, I did it. If I didn't want to do something, I didn't do it. But the moment I became a Christian, the moment I started following God, now I was not the center of the universe. But the problem is, the moment you become a Christian, you're now in conflict with the rest of our culture. We're living in a time when the center of our world is ourself. And it isn't necessarily common or appropriate for us to say, no, the purpose of our lives is not ourselves, but it is Christ Jesus. Imagine telling your parents that you know you don't want to get the job that they always thought was good for you because God has called you to a different mission. That God has called you to serve. And you know what? You are going to serve Him better by caring for the poor downtown or by taking care of kids from low-income communities or dealing with veterans who are struggling with PTSD. That is where you are going to serve. And your parents don't necessarily agree. They think that this is not what they had planned for you. That you could do so much better than this. And you think, when does it get easier, God? Paul never said the race was easy. Paul never said that faith was easy. He says strive. It means exert yourself. Work for it. Push yourself. Not because you build your faith, but because the building of faith inside of you, that sanctification, that changing process, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that requires great work and effort. But it isn't as if we all do it ourselves. It's not as if I'm like, okay, you want to be a Christian? Here, you got to read your Bibles. You got to know every single word memorized without fail. Okay. We'll make you a Christian. Anybody can read a Bible. Kids can read Bibles. Doesn't make someone a Christian. You can say the prayers. You can say the Our Father, the Ave Maria. You can say anything you want. Doesn't make you a Christian. Faith is not built the same way that muscles are. It's built through a different process. It's built through the process of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and changing us from the inside. And that's a hard process, but it's one that only God can do. The question is, are we willing to work with God for that purpose, or are we going to be passive and sit back and wait and say, when, God, will I finally not be proud? You might be waiting for a long time. When, Lord, will I stop being jealous of my brother who is so much more successful than me? When, Lord, will I stop struggling with lustful feelings towards other people? When, God, will I finally be content with who I am? If we're passive and we wait, then we're missing out on the great joys of being a Christian person. The great joy is that we actually have the Holy Spirit who does speak to our hearts, who does minister to us, who does encourage us, who gives us the strength to keep going. Who says to us, yes, you are created by God. Yes, you are loved by God. Not because of anything you did, but because of who He is. We are told to strive. To not be passive, not to sit and wait, but to strive for the goal. And that means that our faith is not won overnight. It's not as if we go to sleep and then wake up and then we have the perfect faith. It requires hard work and effort. And notice how Paul says it. He says like this. He says, One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, I'm going to leave behind the things that weigh me down, and instead, I'm going to look forward. Now, there's a quote that's attributed to John F. Kennedy, the former American president. He said, "I always forgive my enemies, but I never forget their names." The idea is, sure, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. For me, one of the big struggles of my life is that when I have sinned, when I have done something that is against God, the problem is forgiving myself. Even to this day, there are times when I'm just going about my day and something triggers within me and I remember some mistake that I made, some fault, some stupid decision that I made, something that was bad or inappropriate or just downright sinful. And I remember those things and they weigh me down. And then I feel bad about myself. And then I think, I'm not worthy of God. You see, Satan can use our sin against us. He does, often. He pushes us and says, really? You think God wants to use you? You, of all people. Seriously? He could find someone better than you. The moment you sin, see, that disqualifies you. You have no right to say anything to anybody. Nothing. You're not so perfect. You have no right to tell people anything. Look at your life. God has better people than you. You're not special. You don't have anything that God can use. We can have baggage from our own lives and our own experiences. When we have parents who leave us, or we have abusive relationships, we have moments when we felt like we were worthless and nothing. We can have moments when people have hurt us in our lives and it stops us trusting others. And all of these things add up to extra baggage, to extra weight. It's something on our shoulders that keeps us down. It keeps us chained to the earth instead of flying with God. It's harder to run the race when you have extra weight on your back. You can see right now, I'm not wearing a backpack. I could go running right now if I wanted to. Now imagine if I put 20 pounds on my back. 40 pounds on my back. 60 pounds on my back. Now imagine me trying to run the same race. The life of a Christian person is not easy. It is surrounded by different challenges, struggles, different people who are opposed to us. There are lots of different things that are going on in our lives that challenge us. And there may be moments when we think, man, this is hard. But the beautiful thing of God is that he can take even our mistakes, especially our mistakes, and he can use them for his glory. When I am filled with that feeling of worthlessness, when I reflect on my sin and I'm like, man, I screwed up badly. You can always tell when the Holy Spirit is there with you in that moment saying, and I loved you anyways. And even though you did that, I still died for you. The great encouragement of my heart is the idea, this crazy notion that God would die for me. That he would die for me knowing that I would sin, knowing exactly how I would mess up. When I was his enemy, he saw and he chose to forgive me. He didn't have to. He chose to. When I reflect on my sin and on my own worthlessness and my inability to say anything to anyone, I'm reminded that God forgives the sinner and encourages us to do the same. That God in his mercy chooses to let it go. That he chooses to let us go. God takes our emotional baggage, our previous relationships, the different things that weigh us down, and he says, I can take it all. On the cross, Jesus shows us that he is capable of dealing with everything that we have in our lives, because he himself dealt with something that was so unimaginably cruel and painful. That yes, when God is with us, that we are capable of speaking to people, not because we are good or because we are skilled or because we have the words to say necessarily, but because God himself is with us, that his Spirit is with us. The great joy of my life is to see God use Satan's words against him, to take the same thing that he would use against us to say, you are a sinner, you are the worst of sinners, and God says, yes, you are the worst of sinners, and I need you. The Apostle Paul, in one of his books, says that he himself is the worst of sinners. It comes from this place of accepting the fact that, yes, we are fallen. Yes, we're imperfect. But because of that, God has a chance to shine. That any good that I do, it is not because I myself am good, but because there is one who is good in me. That anything that I do in my life that is worth noticing or remembering or praising, it is not due to my skill or who I am. It is due to the one who chose to forgive me when I had nothing good inside of me. And friends, that is why Christ Jesus is the focus of my life. That's why he's the focus of Paul's life. Because it is easy for us to love somebody who is lovable, who is kind and polite and sweet and generous. It is easy to love that type of person. It is hard to love somebody who is proud and arrogant and stubborn, who is greedy or jealous, who thinks only for themselves, who hurts other people without thinking about it. It is hard to love that type of person. And we know those people because they're in our lives. We know it from first-hand experience. It's hard to love those people. But God chooses to love those people. And by those people, I mean us. He chooses to love us. Christ shows his love for people when he dies, when he chooses to give up everything that he had for somebody like me. And it's a way of showing love, not saying I love you, but showing I love you. And because of that, God has captured my heart. That's why he has captured the heart of the Apostle Paul. The race isn't done. There's still work to do. Our lives are not over. We still have to keep going. But if we are running this race, we can do it either burdened by all of our worries, our fears, our anxieties, or we can do it unburdened, running without the weight. There's a time for running with weight, and there's a time for running free. And on the day when it matters, you want to be able to run when you're free of weight and worry and shame. And that is all possible with Christ Jesus.